Intervju Radija Študent.
Nocoj bo v sklopu Cankarjevih torkov v klubu Cankarjevega doma nastopila zasedba Nostalgia 77, kar je umetniško ime britanskega glasbenika in producenta Bena Lambdina. Lambdin je pod tem imenom izdal že 4 albume. Obenem pa Nostalgia 77, kadar deluje bolj kot band, svojemu imenu doda še oznako oktet, torej Ben Lambdin in še 8 mandelcev. Ben Lambdin je glasbenik in producent, ki v svojem ustvarjanju na novo odkriva zvoke prodornega džeza iz sredine 60-ih in jih pomeša s funkom in soulom v izrazito sodobno mešanico, ki je toliko stilizirana kot retro. Nocoj se bo ob njem predstavila tudi nemška pevka Joza Pajt, ki z Lambdinom sodeluje na zadnjem albumu, naslovljenem The Sleepwalking Society. Pred nocojšnjim koncertom smo se z glasbenikoma pogovarjali tudi v živo.
The Sleepwalking Society is your fourth album under the name of Nostalgia 77, right?
Yeah.
What was its creation like and how much did it depend on finding the right singer, Joza Pajt?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what you hear depends totally on finding the right singer because, you know, a different person will be a different record. So I was lucky. I mean, I've written some songs that kind of made up most of the album, but there was no one to sing them, and I hadn't found. And then Steffi found me and said hello and sent me some music, and it seemed like a good idea. In my head, it fitted what she sent me and my song. So
it was she that found you.
Yes.
She just sent you some music of her own, and then you realize that this is the voice you want to hear on your new album.
I knew
a few of Ben's records, and I had this MySpace account, and I wrote him a message on MySpace saying hi, have a listen if you like, and that's how it all got into being, really, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'd say that musically you've progressed from a more club-oriented sound at the beginning to a fuller and warmer retro jazz-tinged sound, kind of. Was the making of this album, with its emphasis on soul and new experience for you? Do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, it came out of... I've been working a lot producing records for other people and doing lots of jazz recordings for different groups and working with a few different singers. And I guess during the couple of years I had off doing that work, I discovered lots of things I could want to put into a new set of music for Nostalgia 77. So for kind of nostalgia, it was like a new thing, but it kind of came out of work I've been doing in the studio with other people.
So it was not a surprise for you, the way it turned out? It was not like after a couple of years and then you'd get a brilliant new idea?
No, it was just, you know, gradual. Each record for me, I feel like you want to try and do something different, something new.
Did you two work together on writing and producing as well?
On two of the songs, basically. I think I had 5 songs or
Yeah,
six
I can't
songs.
Remember. I think, yeah, maybe, I yeah,
six,
like six,
six,
I think.
Six songs. And I invited Steffi to London to work on those. And while she was over, she came for a week. And while she was over, we wrote 2 extra things together.
Yeah.
So it's not just the voice that would make the album sound different, it's...
There you go.
Yes, you see. How about you, Steffi? What is your musical background? I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're working on a solo album?
Yeah, I mean, I have my solo project, but I've, you know, I grew up with so many different styles of music, but I guess I did really listen to a lot of soul music when I was also as a kid, and my dad made me listen to a lot of jazz then, you know, and that's it. And I went to the States and did this gospel project at my high school that influenced me quite a lot. So I always, with that kind of background, you know, that did influence me, and only later, having lived in Berlin for a while and having been to see lots of really eclectic kind of musicals, you know, having been exposed to this kind of scene, I took more influences in. So, yeah, so that's my background.
What about your solo album? Does it have a concept behind it? Will it be more like jazz or more?
I don't think it's jazz. I think it's
How would you describe it?
Be heavy headbanging music.
I don't believe you.
No, I think it's probably, I don't. I think my songs are this mix between soul and folk music, and maybe some of it, as I use a lot of loops, mm-hmm. and I work this loop stage, maybe it's kind of, it's quite simple, you know, in a way that I write and create it. So, but it's, I guess it's got these two kind of, these two influences of soul and folk, and a bit of everything else in it, really.
Is it going to include a bigger band, or will it be recorded with
I do. I mean, I do. I don't really know how. You know, I have a lot of it. I've done in my living room, so you know, it's a kind of question of whether to work it up so it sounds good enough to put on a record. Or I have a trio at the moment I play live with, which I quite like. You know, this kind of minimal band set up. I like the sound of that as well, so I think it's not going to be a massive nostalgia set up with seven animals.
Seven monsters.
Ben, some groups of musicians in your musical field, for example, the Hidden Orchestra or Breakthrough or Jazz Nova even, they consider themselves more a collective rather than a band. Which is also true of Nostalgia 77, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, there's an element of that. I mean, certainly the bass player from Nostalgia, a guy called Rian Vosloo, is someone I've worked with for like about 8 years now. Mm. And as well as working on Nostalgia things with him, we work on a whole kind of load of other projects, as well as a little label that we do. And a lot of the guys who are here this evening are also involved in, you know, in a variety of these different projects. So whilst kind of Nostalgia is like my little thing, then the kind of family of people involved do kind of function like a collective. But I think it's that thing of like certain musicians are just very flexible, you know. They can really turn their hand to a whole variety of music, and that's true of these guys who do this band.
But when it comes to writing music, it's solely your project.
Well, not solely, but I guess that like things like the Sleepwalking Society, they're kind of under my, I don't know, that's kind of my baby, if you like, mm-hmm. whereas other things we do are like much more kind of collective effort. You know, we just did a lot of instrumental music, which lots of different people contributed to, you know, the sax player James brought the tune, and some of it is kind of open and free, and mm-hmm. everyone kind of contributed music to that. And I think that when it comes from it starts with the record, but when it kind of, once it's kind of got to this point of performance in the band, everyone has kind of contributed more of themselves. And obviously anything which has a kind of open or improvised element to it, you know, what you get is what the musicians do, and that's there. That's down to them, basically.
So that would be more the the Nostalgia 77 Octet, I guess.
Exactly, a bit more like that, yeah.
Do you plan on doing something similar to the more improvised yet somehow fully groovy record, The Impossible Equation from 2006?
Well, yeah, we did do this record we recorded last year is a bit more like that. It's not all completely improvised, but there's a lot more of that.
The Equation was?
Yeah.
Really? Completely improvised?
It's just
Nostalgia 77 released an album with Keith and Julie Tippett, the somewhat avant-garde musical couple keen on experimenting. How did the unlikely collaboration come about?
Well, funny enough, Rian, who was just stood here, taught at in the west of England. There's an old, very old musical college called Dartington. It's like a performing arts college, and Keith has taught there for years, basically, and I think at the summer school, his wife Judy teaches as well. And Rian was working in, I think he was assisting on one of their lessons or something, or he was teaching on the same course or something. So they're both from the same part of the world, like the west of England, which is kind of like a strange little clan of people. So they got on, and we found someone who was interested in the idea of a collaboration. A kind of retired record producer, basically, who did well for himself, and they kind of backed us to do this and lent us a studio to do this week of recording with Keith.
And were you drawn to his or their music before that?
Yeah.
Because it's really the music of the generation of our parents, I would say.
Well, it is, yeah.
Do they have a wide audience today when it comes to younger people?
Well, I mean, I think I got into it, like, I think a lot of people got into it through record collecting, you know, because really, like, their music is a lot of their music really is still on record only. And I think they don't have a big audience amongst the younger generation. I mean, it's not big. I mean, I think a lot of Keith's success has been in Europe. Mm. And then, of course, his wife was very well known in her time.
Yes,
you know,
she was
kind of. I mean, she was as close to a kind of alternative kind of 60s pinup as you got, really, kind of all over Europe, I think. And but I think she really didn't. That kind of life really didn't agree with her. And at a certain point, she stopped doing all of that and only did jazz. And at the point, and by that point, their music was so kind of esoteric. You know, they really kind of put themselves in this kind of improvised music. They don't even really want to call it jazz, particularly, even though they're like raised in that tradition. They kind of put themselves squarely over here, and you know, obviously that, you know, you kind of live with the consequences of that in terms of what kind of work you can do. So they are both, you know, they both teach a lot, and I saw a, you know, Keith has a band called Musician, which is like a very like, it's a free band with a few different guys in England, and I saw that once, and it's unbelievable. It's incredibly like immediate music, you know, it's like a really visceral experience.
Was it difficult for you to work with them in terms of improvisation and opening up musically somehow?
No, I think the music came reasonably easily. I think like it wasn't like an effortless experience, because you kind of got their expectations and their experience, and our expectation, our experience, and really like those two things, finding common ground between between us. It was quite hard work.
I would imagine.
But you have to. But I think we did find somewhere where they felt. Because I think that was the kind of thing for me, is that they had to feel comfortable and creative. Do you know what I mean? Because there's that kind of danger when you're discovered at the end of, not the end of your career, but later in your career by a new audience, that what they want you to do is to go over old ground, if you see what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we're like, oh, we love the record you made in the 60s, but of course, they don't want to do that again. They already did it. I don't want to do tunes that I did 6 years ago. So so why the fuck would they want to do part of the music that they did 50 years ago? They don't. So you kind of have to kind of find some material and like space where they feel like they're still being, where they're comfortable in their creativity. But then, you know, that was the challenge.
Your album Borderline, whose freshness lies at least partly in the way it was dipped in tradition, I would say, won the BBC Worldwide Award for the best jazz LP of 2006. To what degree do you consider yourself part of the jazz scene in the UK?
Well, I'm not a jazz musician, but all the people I work with and a lot of the recording work I do is, so really it's in virtue of, I'm only part of it in that, like, I record a lot of jazz musicians, if you see what I mean. I'm not like an improviser or anything, so. But, you know, I like that creative world, so, yeah, you know.
I guess that browsing through old record stores and finding obscure musical gems is part of your creative process. How do you incorporate such sounds from the past into your own music? Is it just for inspiration, or do you work with...
Well, I used to sample lots of records, and now I don't really. So I think I'm like anybody else, you know, most of what people kind of create in music or anything, I think, is just a kind of sum of your experience. So if you listen to, if you only ever listen to Marvin Gaye, it's quite likely your music is going to sound something like something Motown, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I listen to all sorts of music, and my tastes change.
So then you're not a record collecting freak or something?
Well, I used to be, but to be honest, I can't afford it.
I see. But I guess that also makes your music sound more more personal in a way. Would you agree?
What, to not...
Maybe.
To not sound...
Yes, yes.
Well, I think at a certain point, or at a certain point, I should say, after I met a certain... kind of number of musicians, I just found it much easier to do the things I wanted to do using great musicians, you know?
It's a growth process, I would say.
It's just it's hard to do that if you haven't got very good musicians.
Yes.
If you've got great music, if the people are willing to work with you and do those things, then you can do whatever you can imagine rather than whatever you can find in a record shop, which is, you know, just hard work.
Yeah, I see, of course. And how do you relate to older jazz musicians such as Bobby Hutcherson, Joe Henderson, Horace Silver, Oliver Nelson, or Lee Morgan? Are those a direct influence on your music?
Well, I think they are, not necessarily just through me, but I mean, I know James also, who's plays saxophone. I mean, I know he's like a massive Joe Henderson fan.
Mm-hmm.
I know that probably if you hear one of his solos, you might hear like a little bit taste of that in there. I don't know. I mean, the names you got there are like, they're like kind of significant figures in that tradition, and if you work with jazz musicians, they'll have studied that tradition.
That's true, but not necessarily all new music wants to sound like them or take elements from their music directly. I think your music relates maybe more to those than, I don't know,
yeah,
Coltrane or maybe Ornette Coleman, I don't know.
Yeah, true.
They have a groove. They're the...
Well, that's yeah. I'm interested in that as well. But that's because, I mean, you know, I didn't get into music only listening to jazz. I got into listening to things which are like very rooted in like groove music, you know, whatever, you know, it's different dance music, New Orleans music, whatever, you know. That's always been a big thing for me, and I try and find even whatever the setting, I always try and have like a strong rhythm.
Okay, thank you very much. I think this is it.
When you can't wake up, when you can't sleep.
Z Nostalgia 77 se je pogovarjal Andrej Hočevar.
Drifting downstream.
Intervju Radija Študent.